Have a blessed day, everyone. Hear these praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. I love you so much, Jesus. I love you so much. Lord, I love you, my soul sings. In your presence, carried on your wings. I love you so much, Jesus. I love you so much. And how my soul longs for you, longs to worship you forever. In your power and majesty, I lift my hands, I lift my heart, I lift my voice towards the heavens, for you are my sun and shield. Hear praises from a grateful heart. Each time I think of you, the praises start. I love you so much, Jesus. I love you so much. Lord, I love you, my soul sings. In your presence, carried on your wings. I love you so much, Jesus. I love you so much. And how our souls long for you, long to worship you forever. In your power and majesty, we lift our hands, we lift our hearts, we lift our voice towards the heavens, for you are our sun and shield. We love you so much, Jesus. We love you so much. We love you so much, Jesus. We love you so much. Amen.
Amen. That was nice. Is there somebody else, or are we just doing one song, or?
Just catching my breath. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt you paid from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt you paid from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt you paid from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. Amen. If you can all kneel, please do so. If you can't, don't worry. Just bow your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for being here, as you promised in the Word, whenever two or more are gathered, that you're there in their midst. And there's a bit more than two here, Father, so thank you. Thank you also for blessing us with this technology to be able to gather together, even though we're thousands of miles apart. Thank you for the strategy behind that as well, because we can do a good and a great work for you, even if we do just a little thing here and a little thing there. If we got a lot of us doing it, the loud cry will go forth. And so thank you, Father, for blessing us in our efforts, in our work, in giving us many opportunities to do that which we desire to do, to make you smile. Thank you again for forgiving us of our sins, cleansing us from unrighteousness, and blessing us with the latter rain and the faith that moves mountains. We also want that discernment and that wisdom that we need to do your will. And thank you for blessing us there. And for all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that help us do this work, we thank you for the special blessings you place upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Okay, this is not one of those current event kind of things. I wasn't going to preach about this. I saw this article a while ago, but then after listening to what Brother Rob did last week, and it's got to be said. And plus, I wanted to have it recorded in, so I can put it on the site and stuff like that. But on January 4th, 2010, which was 3 months ago, a little more, almost 4 months, Adventist Today magazine published an article entitled Letting Roman Catholics Off the Hook. And it was written by some guy named, or woman, I don't know, I think it's a guy, Lauren Siebold. I think a woman has an A in there. So Siebold gives seven reasons why Seventh-day Adventists should no longer trust Ellen White, the original pillars of their faith, or the scriptures themselves. Now, of course, he doesn't say it that way, but when you listen to what he says in this article, that's what's going on here. All right? I would like to share a point-by-point of this article to give an idea of just how bad it's gotten in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The article starts off by saying, for over a century, even before the publication of the Great Controversy, we Adventists have regarded the Roman Catholic Church leadership typified in the first beast of Revelation 13 as our arch nemesis, our bête noire, as they call it. I think that's French for black beast, or the enemy that takes the evil part of the apocalyptic scenario against God's remnant. Here are seven reasons why it may be time to question them in that role. Okay? And by the way, Sister White did prophesy that the Seventh-day Adventist Church would do this. Okay? Even though a lot of the Seventh-day Adventist people will say that, no, it's she never did. But then again, that's because they don't read her writings. They only listen to their pastors. But she did predict that the Seventh-day Adventist people would go and join hands with Rome. So number one, this is their first excuse, right? It's right there in box number one. And it says, it says, more than 100 years have passed since our prophet approved these prophetic applications. Ellen White expected Jesus to return long before this. We're not sure why that hasn't happened. Now, stopping here for a minute, I am convinced the only reason the Seventh-day Adventist Church is not sure why Jesus hasn't returned yet is because the leaders are not what some would call original SDA material. Original SDA material, okay? They don't have the same doctrines we have, the Seventh-day Remnant, which is from the original Seventh-day Adventist Church 150-some years ago. They do not study Scripture, nor do they read Sister White's writings. Truth is, had they done so, they would have known she said the following in the year 1896. This is from Review and Herald, October 6, 1896, paragraph 7. It says, if those who claim to have a living experience in the things of God had done their appointed work as the Lord ordained, the whole world would have been warned ere this, and the Lord Jesus would have come in power and great glory. For God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. He tells us when that day shall come. This gospel, and this, so she quotes Jesus, and Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Jesus wants every minister to whom he has committed a trust to be faithful, to remember his injunctions, to contemplate the vastness of the work, and upon how large a number of the obligation rests. How far a number of the obligation rests. Okay. Jesus is speaking here. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So there you have it. If they read their Bibles and the spirit of prophecy, they would realize that God has appointed a specific day. There is no reason to say we are not sure why this hasn't happened. But Jesus said, in Matthew 24, verse 36, of that day and hour, no man knoweth, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Okay? Another fact they missed is that Sister White did in fact say, if the ministers who were called to do the work had done their appointed work as the Lord ordained, he would have returned. Could it be the Seventh-day Adventist Church is hiding that fact to prevent the people from seeing they failed at their post? I believe this is to be the case here. The work wasn't done. The Lord didn't come. End of story. So continuing with the article, it says, but isn't it possible that some details of the apocalyptic scenario set out in the 1890s may have changed by the 2010s? It happened to Israel. Not all the original Old Testament prophecies about them and their role came to pass. We call it conditional prophecy. Well, they can call it whatever they like. But according to my Bible, to the law and the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Another prophet said that. His name was Isaiah, and he said it in chapter 8, verse 20. Using terms like, isn't it possible, or maybe, or perhaps, or could be, is making a doctrine out of a question. And they assume their flock will trust in that pattern or definition that they prescribe. No, it isn't possible that the prophetic facts could change. To suggest such a thing is to call our Creator God a liar. No, nothing changed for Israel in the past except maybe the severity of punishments as they repented in the way. They got the punishments, but it didn't go as far because the prayers were there. The Word of God is plain in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. What they hope to do in this statement from Adventists today is to generate just enough doubt in the hearts of their flock so as to keep them in the church. The timing is right here for such an article like this for Adventists today to do this. The people are ready to hear whatever they say, and they know it. A decade or so ago, an article like this it never would have been allowed because it would have offended many. Especially in that the writer never explains his statements regarding certain prophecies he claims never came to be. Rome did this, the very same thing a few years ago, and I did a radio thing on this about how they proclaimed certain verses in the Bible were not trustworthy. Of course, they never, ever, ever showed you which verses they were talking about, because they know if they did, those that do study the Bible would expose them for the false teachers that they are. So, of course, they left that part out. Statements like this make it easy for the young in Christ to give up and think that something in the Bible may not be true because some theologian said so, and seeing how that they are so new to the Word, they figure they cannot know for sure which verse it is they're speaking about. So, and especially in the case of, like right here, the supposed prophecies that failed, they figure Christianity is way too hard for them to master, so they either leave Jesus Christ altogether and pick some other religion, or they bow in worship of the pastor, which the majority of the SDAs are doing now, thinking it's better just to trust that man since with their salvation, since that's his job to study the Word of God anyway. So they just trust him hands down. But that's what Rome does. This is exactly what Rome does. They generate blind trust in their congregations eons ago. This also proves how Roman Catholicism, the Vatican itself, now owns the Seventh-day Adventist Church. This is a blatant Roman Catholic fruit, to say the least. That type of statement, theology, or mindset, that's Roman Catholicism. Okay, now here's excuse number two. They say principles might be more diagnostic than players. That's our little headline for the question. And then they say that we oppose those who would legislate matters that should be left to an individual's conscience is a principle I value. And I'm proud of Seventh-day Adventist efforts to protect religious liberty. But if it should happen that someone other than the Roman Catholic Church begins to act like the beast of Revelation 13, we will be more ready to respond if we are watching for a violation of that, of the principle, than in waiting for one specific group to offend. The Jesuits know, okay? They know that Roman Catholicism has spread so far and so wide that now they can perform their prophesied wicked acts in many different denominations. I mean, case in point, they're all going to church on Sunday, and we all know that the Roman Catholic Church put it in writing that they invented Sunday keeping. You can look from Genesis to Revelation. There's not a single Bible verse that said God changed the Sabbath. The Vatican did, just like Daniel prophesied they would in Daniel 7:25. And so, in fact, if you look at the Jesuit oath, they declare it is their duty. I've got the Jesuit oath on the website if you need it, but they declare it is their duty to infiltrate each and every denomination on earth so as to change it from within, and once there, they can use that denomination to do their work for Rome. So they can act like a Baptist or a Methodist or a Mennonite or a Lutheran or even a Muslim if they want and do these crazy acts. And then Rome can sit back and go, oh, that was just so wrong to do. And act like, you know, they're all holy and all that, when in fact they're the ones doing it. So, the reason they do that, of course, is to get the beacon of light off of them and pointing elsewhere. You know, that's just a smokescreen. It's just like the old speakeasies in the 1920s. You know, they do the crime in the back room and they have this legitimate business out front. The Vatican performs many heinous acts over the centuries using all sorts of pawns like this. Well, I mean, look at World War II, for example. Rome was able to perform various war crimes through one man. Many to this day still think it was all Hitler's fault, when in fact all he was doing was following orders. Yes, Hitler was a very, very evil man, but his director was far worse. Adventist today knows Rome has their talents in many different areas all around the world. As a result, they can say with confidence, look, the Vatican had nothing to do with this act prophecy says Antichrist would do. Yet in reality, it was the Vatican doing that act all along. And Adventist today knows that, because you can see the fruits of Roman Catholicism here. It appears to be a Jesuit speaking here. He knows Rome has done this before, and he knows that Roman Catholicism works that way. This La Cosa Nostra method, or mafioso method, has served them well for centuries, and it will work even better today, since they are indeed everywhere, just as prophesied. I mean, they're even in Washington, D.C. And they've been in there since Reagan allowed them in on his second term. Okay, question. Here's reason number three. She says, Ellen White fingered Catholicism in a very different world. Historians have shown that the 19th century American anti-Catholicism grew out of a general anti-immigration nativism in an era when we had and could again have a liberty-loving Roman Catholic president, when Catholic immigrants had become our young workforce. Why can't we preach the gospel without identifying Roman Catholicism as Satan's exclusive tool? Well, the reason we cannot stop preaching Catholicism, Roman Catholicism, to be Satan's exclusive tool is because Jesus Christ told us not to. Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5 specifically says we must continue to warn God's people to come out of her. And no, anti-Catholicism did not come from anti-immigration type racism as suggested here. People fled to this country to escape Roman Catholic prelates that were torturing and killing hundreds of millions of Christians that wanted to worship Christ the way the Bible said. We were just reading about this in the Great Controversy. That is undeniable, overwhelming historic fact. No man can change, although they do try to. Because I remember when I was in high school in the 70s, I looked at some of the stuff and I said, oh, come on. You're trying to tell me in this history book that this nation was started because people fled the United Kingdom or Britain because of high taxes? Look, I'm Catholic, because I was Catholic at the time. I know why the people left. It's because my popes were killing you people. And this, I was 17 years old when I saw that. Still a Catholic at that time. So anyone with a competent knowledge of history knows Adventists today just told a bold-faced lie. Very easily. I mean, this is the age of lying, so you're going to see it in many places. Okay, here's reason number four. The Roman Catholic Church of today is a much different institution than it was during Ellen White's time. The Second Ecumenical Council of the Vatican II, which is in, you know, between 62 and 65, radically altered that denomination's theology and practices. Radically? What planet? I mean, on this one, it's not radically changed. The only reason I could assume they're sharing this is to make some think they have changed for the better. However, I was a teacher of Roman Catholic doctrine back in the early 1980s. And I can tell you by personal experience that over 85% of Roman Catholic doctrine is not found in Scripture. That being said, does it really matter what Vatican II had to say for or against the truth when they came forward? I mean, they did that 20 years before I was teaching Catholicism. And Catholicism in the 80s was no different than it was in the 60s or the 50s before the Vatican II. If they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. We understand this. But no, Roman Catholicism hasn't changed at all, doctrinally speaking. Only her method of attack has changed to a more stealthy approach. Now, continuing with reason number four, they say Vatican II declared the gospel central to church theology, made worship accessible, denied the Roman Catholics only can be saved, and encouraged lay Bible study and affirmed religious liberty. Besides the fact that, no, they did not and never do declare the gospel central to the church theology by the simple fact that they preach pagan doctrines over 85% of the time, the fact they claim in Vatican II affirmed others outside the Roman Catholic Church can be saved goes directly against what the church is preaching today. The Latin phrase extra ecclesiasm nulla salus means outside the church there is no salvation. This theology is very much a part of Roman Catholic dogma to this day. In fact, Pope Benedict XVI stated in writing on July 10th, 2007, if it's not Catholic, it's not really a church. That's word for word what he said. Obvious fact is, all of the Vatican's main websites have in-depth studies echoing and backing his theological statements on this topic. That being the case, is Adventist today doing any research at all? Are they pulling this stuff out of thin air or something? Or are they simply lying for the ecumenical purposes, hoping their readers won't check up on them? There is so much evidence to prove this to be a lie that I'm amazed there wasn't an uproar when it was published. Doesn't anyone remember all the media hype and the anger from the Protestants and the Muslims and other religions when the Pope made those statements back in 2007? It was on all the news stations globally. Anyway, continuing with reason number four, Adventist today declares that Vatican II, while not quite a Protestant Reformation, today's Catholic Church is not the same Catholic Church referenced in our 19th century eschatological studies. Among other things, the Second Ecumenical Council weakened Vatican authority over world Catholics, as evidenced by the 78% of the American Catholics who opposed their church's ban on contraception. Well, this here is a straw man's argument, in that Catholics have always had a problem with this, as well as many other doctrines and prophetic earmarks exposing them as Antichrist. I know, I was devout Catholic for 29 years. Yes, the devout ones did follow Rome's advice blindly. That's why I'm one of 11 kids. But just as we see SDAs doing today, most Catholics aren't devout. As we look around and see how Roman Catholic doctrines are found in all denominations, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, then yes, I agree. It was not a Protestant Reformation for many. It was, as prophecy predicted and fulfilled, however, the Protestants have joined with Rome, and now Adventist today is hoping to use that prophetic fulfillment as a way to bring even more into the Babylonian fold. So yes, I agree. The Roman Catholic Church is not the same church it was in the 19th century. It's far worse. I mean, Hitler proved that. Only now they do their prophesied wicked acts in a more stealthy manner, as the modern-day Jesuit oath declares. And I think this is in, I got to get a little excerpt of this in box number 12 in the room here. And I got the whole quote on the website, but it's this, to give you an idea, a little blurb of what it says. It says, now this is the actual Roman Catholic Jesuit priest oath. It says, I furthermore promise and declare that I will, when opportunity presents, make and wage relentless war, secretly or openly, against all heretics. And by the way, March 12, 2000, during the mea culpa of the Roman Catholic Pope John Paul II, he declares you, me, anybody that's not a Catholic, a heretic. Still, in the year 2000, they still preach that. So secretly or openly against all heretics, Protestants, and liberals, as I am directed to do, to extirpate and exterminate them from the face of the whole earth. Now, of course, it goes on from here, and it is quite blood-curdling, to say the least, and because there's kids present, I'm not reading it. So Rome hasn't changed, and soon we will see that Hitler was just a warm-up pitch for them. Thanks to their invention of Islam, which we now have verified online, that the Roman Catholic Church did, in fact, invent the religion of Islam so that they can do what they're doing today with it, with the terrorism and all these other strange things, just like they did with Hitler. We are now seeing the killings that are increasing with each passing day. And in 2009 alone, just from January to November, because I couldn't find December statistics on it yet for 2009. I guess they haven't finished them. But in 2009 alone, the first 11 months, 165,000 Christians died at the hands of Muslims. And I think 180 or 185,000 were tortured by Muslims. Now this is just Muslims. I'm not talking about Buddhists or the Chinese and all, and the other, strange, like the Koreans and all, what they do to Christians. This is just Muslims. So anyway, reason number five that the Seventh-day Adventist Church says we should group hug, we're not Seventh-day Adventists, but that the Seventh-day Adventists should have a big old group hug with the Catholics. So reason number five says, by focusing on Roman Catholicism, we may miss more dangerous anti-Christian opponents. Far more Christians have been killed, persecuted, or denied their religious liberty by communism, military fascism, and Islamic extremism in the past century than by Roman Catholics. We've let these pass with minimal comment. In the case of Nazism, even offering some, anonymous, or I don't know, that is a strange-looking word, but it means cowardly. I looked it up. So even offering some cowardly cooperation as we continue to warn against the Pope. Today, religious liberty still has more dangerous enemies than Catholicism in the United States, perhaps even some of our fellow conservative Protestants. Now they're pointing the finger at us. So here, Adventist today seeks to make the Pope look not so bad by proclaiming other religions are worse. This everyone else is doing it pretext is an age-old maneuver. Does this take away the fact that prophecy specifically defined the Great Tribulation of the Christians, wherein 500 million Christians died at the hands of Rome? Does it take it away? Just because Rome is in their prophesied lull doesn't mean they haven't changed. They have changed. In fact, Sister White herself stated in the Last Day Events on page 130 that Rome never changes. It is Protestantism that will change. The fact Adventists today, a spokesperson for Protestantism today, is changing their tune regarding Roman Catholicism says a lot for the accuracy of Ellen White's writings once again. And it's amazing how many prophetic statements this woman has made that are happening right now today in our life. So anyway, it's been proved that Hitler was indeed following orders from Rome by literally thousands of authors over the last century. I've got a page on the website all about this, pictures and all. It has also been proven that the Nation of Islam was indeed created by the Roman Catholic Church so as to allow them to kill in hiding as they did with Hitler. And the seat that the Pope sits on, that throne, if you flip it upside down, it says dedicated to Allah in Arabic. And then it's got a verse from the Quran. The Jesuit oath alone proves that this is their agenda, hands down. I mean, just looking at all the blood-curdling things that are going on in the world and how the Jesuits said that they're going to do this behind closed doors, acting like other religions. I mean, and praise the Lord that they had to throw that oath forward in a courtroom, because that's where I got it's an actual court transcript. Somebody read the Jesuit oath in a courtroom, and it was transcribed in a courtroom. So we now know that they were planning to do this, and now we see it happening. The fact Adventist today is failing to mention that historic reality proves to me that the SDA Church is indeed in bed with Rome at this time, overwhelmingly, 100%. For nearly three decades now, I have witnessed Catholics use this method to defend their popes and prelates by pointing fingers elsewhere. But, you know, when the molestation scandal hit here in the States, many Catholics came forward to try to proclaim that they weren't the only ones doing this horrific act, so it can't mean their leaders are so bad. This really boggles my mind, but how does admitting they have done these horrific acts make them appear to be innocent? Well, just because someone else is doing it means that, okay, then it must be okay. They literally admit they're doing it and then try to make it look like it's not that bad by saying someone else is doing it too. I don't get that mindset. It really confuses me. Even before I was a Christian, I didn't get that. Says, how, you just admitted this to me. You understand what you just said? They don't get that. So anyway, it always shows, to me anyway, a sign of desperation when they use that kind of tactic to talk their way out of trouble, while at the same time insult the intelligence of the person they're talking to. Because they really don't realize what they just said. Okay, reason number six. They said, God has given us time to become a world church, and that changes the cast of characters in our eschatology. The Antichrist opposers of Christ, to many of today's world Christians, are radical imams or cruel dictators. One site of Christian persecution right now is northern Nigeria, where Muslims burn churches and kill Christians, an eschatology that expects only Roman Catholics to initiate religious oppression. Only in the United States. See what they're doing there? They're saying, look, the prophecy says only the Catholics are supposed to be doing it, but look, the Muslims are doing it. An eschatology that expects only Roman Catholics to initiate religious oppression only in the United States and only around the Sabbath question may fail to speak prophetically should apocalyptic markers appear elsewhere. Anyway, first off, the eschatology, that word, is the matching of prophetic events to historic events. That's what eschatology is. It's a study I love, and I've been doing it for 26 years. Well, actually, 28 or 29 years, I was doing it as a Catholic. That's what eventually got me out of Catholicism, when I started matching prophetic events and prophecy around a year or two before I left the church. I started focusing on Antichrist, and I thought, whoa, you know, scared me out of there. So anyway, I got to ask, how can one change the characters after the fact? How can you change something that's already happened? I mean, wasn't that written the Antichrist would be housed in the Vatican until the day Jesus Christ comes to cause the smoke of her burning that Revelation 18:9 talks about? How can the prophecies change? Are the signposts still not pointing to the same place as prophecy said they will? Well, yeah, Muslims kill Christians, but history shows Rome created the Muslims to do just that. Rome has always used a multitude of characters so the people that fail to study Bibles they wouldn't catch it. They would think prophetic markers are changing places when in fact they never do. So this is what he's trying to do in the article. He's trying to make it look like the prophetic markers have changed. No, they haven't. They're still where they're supposed to be. It's just that the players, that Rome is using has changed. Rome is still doing it, though. This is a favored tactic of Rome via Satan, as prophesied by Daniel. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 25, I mean, their craftiness is going to prosper in their hand, just like Daniel said. One example of using their character-changing method has to be how Rome has been able to make literally billions of people believe that the Jews in the Middle East are the true chosen people or the Israel of God. I did a video all about this. That deception has allowed many to ignore true prophetic events for centuries simply because they have been watching the Jews instead of the real Israel of God, that's you and me, when it comes to prophetic fulfillments all around us. No, the markers have never changed. The prophecy is just as firm as when it was penned. Rome has been known since day one to use deception and craftiness to try and pull the onus off of them. The Roman fruits of Adventists today prove this hands down in this article alone. If it is true that the characters and prophetic markers have changed, I need to ask a few questions. Is the Pope still seated on those seven hills in Rome like prophecy said he would be, or has Islam now taken the Vatican? Or was it not the Pope that killed for 1,260 years as prophecy said, or did Islam suddenly do that? Was it not the Popes that received the mortal wound that is now healing, or was it Islam? Was it not the prophesied popes that they would have power, they would lose it, and then they would return back into power? Or are we supposed to be watching Islam do that? Are they supposed to all of a sudden lose their power now and then come back? Have a lull and then come back? I mean, the popes did that, but I haven't seen the Islamic people do it, the Muslims. Does not the Pope still to this day claim to be a god on earth? Or is Islam doing that now? I mean, they're still doing that, the Pope. Does not the Pope demand worship even of Islamic leaders? I got pictures of Yasser Arafat kissing the Pope's ring. That's an act of worship. I got a video all about that too. Or has this suddenly switched to Islam? Are they now worshiping each other? Doesn't the Pope's title, 13 different titles, still equal 666 if you spell the titles in Latin or Greek and use gematria, which in Latin it's easy to do because Latin lettering is also their Roman numerals. So you just spell their names and add them up. They all equal 666 individually. Or did this somehow change to Islam? Does not the world wonder after the Pope in every media event, or do we now see Islamic paparazzi? 30,000 cameras were on Pope John Paul II when he came to this country back when he was alive. 30,000 cameras. Does not Roman Catholicism support Babylonian doctrines 86% of the time, as prophecy said they would do till the end of time? Or did Islam suddenly start doing this? Are not most of the Roman Catholic priests homosexuals, as Daniel predicted they would be in Daniel chapter 11? Or has Islam now suddenly okayed homosexuality and they stopped killing those guys out there that they call homosexuals? Does not Rome still declare herself to be the mother church, or has Islam now done this? And finally, I don't want to go through all of these because there's just way, way, way too many of these, but my favorite, of course, is it not the Roman prelates that are pushing for Sunday laws in Washington, D.C. and in Europe right now? They just did it in Germany. And right after the European Constitution was passed, the very next day, it was against the law to go to work on Sundays in Germany. Or now, has Islam suddenly started doing that? I think Islam worships on Friday, right? So, it is obvious they seek to pull the onus off, or put the onus, rather, on the Muslims as they did with Hitler. So I have to ask Adventists today, if in fact the Seventh-day Adventist Church is declaring the Muslim to be so bone evil, why is it Andrews University has a photo spread of dozens of Seventh-day Adventist students bowing down to Allah in a Muslim mosque in their 2009 summer edition of Focus magazine on page 21. For those of you listening on the radio or on the phone, just go to sdaapostasy.org and go to the pictures section of that website. Evidence and pictures. It's one of the ones that are on the bottom. It's near the bottom. A bunch of students bowing down to Allah in a mosque. So like Rome, the Seventh-day Adventist Church is now going for the odds that most aren't going to look into the claims that they're making here in this article, and those that do are so small in number, it won't affect their plans. You see, when you study prophecy as Jesus commanded in Matthew 24:15, is our wise duty to do, then articles like this from Adventists Today will become so transparent that it literally becomes child's play to refute. All right, here's the last one. This is reason number 7. Religious liberty has arguably improved in countries where Catholicism has influence. During my lifetime, this is the author speaking, of course, the papacy has frequently been a force for peace and freedom. Pope John Paul II opened the first breach in the Iron Curtain, and the Catholics have been more forthright in speaking against violence and oppression than many of our fellow conservative Protestants. Consider the irony that our evangelists are employing anti-Catholic teachings for soul winning in countries where the papacy helped win them that freedom. And then in parentheses he says, and the even greater irony that some of us still think that the Pope, that calling the Pope is the Antichrist is necessary to win souls to Christ. No. I'm sorry. Liberty has not improved. It's simply that Protestant churches have fallen to the same level as pagan Rome has lured them to fall. This too was prophesied. So yes, it may appear as if liberty has improved, but it's only because there's far less opposition to Roman Catholicism. The three frogs of Revelation are most assuredly on the same lily pad right now. The author for Adventist Today states, the papacy has frequently been a force for peace and freedom. Like Satan, displaying the kingdoms of the world to Christ at the end of those 40 days when he was in the desert, he isn't showing all the facts here. You know, Satan just said, look at the glory of these nations, and if you worship me, I'll give them all to you. And he shows how pretty the nations are, all the glorious parts of the nation, all the best times in their history. He doesn't show them the wars, the pestilence, the famines, and all the homosexuality and the decadence. He doesn't show them any of that garbage. He just shows them all the nice. That's it. Well, my website has literally thousands of pages proving that no, peace and freedom are not the fruit of Rome today. Never has been, never will be. Everything from raping hundreds of thousands of children to forcing Irish Catholics to kill Protestants have been the fruit of Rome in recent days. In fact, in June of 2001, the Roman Catholic Church proclaimed you must renounce your faith or die in many Mexican towns, not thinking that was going to hit the global network. We got wind of it. It's on the site now. Actually, it was on the radio, too. They burned homes and livestock of all the Christians that refused to convert to Catholicism. Sadly, some did convert out of fear. We were talking about this earlier. One man's body was actually burned after he was killed as a way to generate even more fear to those refusing to comply. So no, peace and freedom is not a Vatican fruit. Seriously, what are the Jesuit oaths that is still valid today? How can they say this is a peaceful church when that oath is still there? What are the Roman Catholic hospitals that still perform live birth abortions? I did a radio thing on this and everything. They got caught. Is that peace and freedom? I mean, I could literally speak for months on how Rome has been involved in many unmerciful acts. Suffice it to say, Adventist Today lied again. Adventist Today also speaks highly of Pope John Paul II, as do many the world over that seek to see him as canonized as a saint. But like Satan, at the end of those 40 days, they fail to tell the people all the evils that are in his closet. Like, for example, John Paul II's family supplied the cyanide that killed all the Jews. And in February of 1991, he reopened the Office of Inquisition and renamed it the Holy Office, of which Cardinal Ratzinger, who is now the Pope, ensconced in a big scandal about child molestation. The Pope is actually involved in this big time now. He, Cardinal Ratzinger, overlooked and oversaw. He was the overseer of that Office of Inquisition. And then he became, they actually called him God's Rottweiler. This is how Satan always works. This is why you see so many Roman Catholic hospitals and charities today. They gild the lily of deception, like Satan did at the end of that 40 days, by acting as if they care out in the open, while behind closed doors they're killing in the most unmerciful manner. Well, anyway, the article goes on from there with a whole mess of other strange comments and such that I don't have time to go into that today, but I'm going to put them in my next newsletter. Because if I go into it today, I'm going to go way over, and I don't want to do that. So in closing, I want to share with you two quotes from Sister White. Okay, this first one's from Testimonies, Volume 5, page 451. I think I got them in the room there. Yeah, those two bottom of the box number 19 down there. She says, when Protestantism shall stretch her hand across the gulf to grasp by the hand of Roman power, when she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, when under the influence of this threefold union, you know, the three frogs, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant and Republican government. And that's another prediction she made that just happened Monday when they signed into law the health care thing, which is totally against the Constitution. They can't force American people to buy something, but now they are forcing you to get health insurance. If you don't, you get fined. So anyway, so going on, Constitution is a Protestant, yeah, okay, and shall make provisions for the propagation of papal falsehoods and delusions, then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan and that the end is near. Okay? So she's saying, what she's saying more or less is like, because Adventist Today, this article more or less says they're clasping hands with spiritualism, with the Pope. They have reached their hand across the gulf to grasp the hand of the Roman power. In this article, they're trying to get everybody in the church to say, hey, look, everything's hunky-dory with the Pope. That's why you saw in that one, I just put the picture on the SDAapostasy.org site in the evidence for pictures, where they show the Pope washing someone's feet on Adventist Review magazine, right on the front page, or either that was Adventist Today, one of the two. But as big as life, like he's all that. He's the one you got to follow now. So going on, this next one is from Testimonies, Volume 5 again, but now it's page 464 and 465. It's just, you know, the very bottom of one and the very top of the other. She says, the time is not far distant when, like the early disciples, we shall be forced to seek a refuge in desolate and solitary places. As the siege of Jerusalem by the Roman armies was the signal for flight to the Judean Christians, you know, like in 70 AD, when you see the, you know, when Jesus said, when you see the abomination desolation surround the holy place, those who are in Judea to flee to the mountains. So they saw the sign and they fled to the mountains, and 1,100,000 men, women, and children died that didn't flee. So she goes on to say that, so the assumption of power on the part of our nation in the decree enforcing the papal Sabbath, you know, the Sunday laws, will be a warning to us. It will then be time to leave the large cities preparatory to leaving the smaller ones for retired homes in secluded places among the mountains. And I praise the Lord that he's got us out here already beforehand, but I already see Sunday laws. And so, I mean, 1962, John F. Kennedy made it against the law to go to work on Sundays for all government agencies. So the Sunday laws are already here. It's just not enforced on mom and pop, unless, of course, mom and pop work for the government. So that being said, yeah, the rest of it is just the article. I don't want to go into the article. So, yeah. Anyway, I hope and pray that you are blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. Did we have special music?
This song is based on Psalms 64, and it's about the first message that we got from Brother Nicholas concerning the persecution of the Christian. And this song is a prayer. It goes like this.
Hear my voice, O God, hear my prayer, preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the workers of iniquity. oh, hear my voice, oh God, I need my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Now unto him that is able to keep me from falling. Amen.
Now the second one is a phrase. It's Revelation chapter 19 verse 1. It goes like this. Hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. Hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty, just the Lord our God is a little thing. The Lord our God, He is wonderful. All praises be to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is wonderful. All praises be to the King of Kings and the Lord of God. He is wonderful. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory, honor and power, He is wonderful. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. Please kneel, everyone, or bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us with the truth. Thank you for changing the showbread and letting it be placed deep within our hearts so that we can go forward and share the truths with others. Thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness and blessing us with a desire to please you all the days of our life. Thank you for getting us stronger and stronger with each passing day. And thank you for the trials that come and the good times. And Father, we especially lift up those that are lost that we're working with. And even those that come against us, we hope and pray that their hearts are open to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.